Hey everyone, welcome back to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and more. I'm your host, Max Bowen. UK-based country artist Charlotte Young kicked off her music career in early 2020, just as live music came to a halt worldwide. Her debut album, Blown Away, has gotten a great response, and on May 4th, Coffee and Conversations will be released. We talk about how she got her start in music and what it was like to launch at a time when social media was the only way to interact with the fans. Charlotte and I also talk about her style, which ranges from chill, folk-infused tunes to pure rock goodness.
My next guest, well, we are celebrating a bit of an anniversary here because it is around the one-year point when she first entered music. I am joined by UK country singer-songwriter Charlotte Young. Charlotte, welcome to the show. It's great having you here.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here. So, hi, everyone.
Hello. Hello, listeners.
Making myself known.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And really, in 1 year, you've done quite a bit, especially since that 1 year has been this past year.
I mean, it's busy, apparently.
Apparently. So, I actually like to ask how does your music career happen to begin at around the point when everything musically just kind of shut down?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely say it wasn't planned. It was a case of I've been really looking to release music for quite a while. I had no idea where to begin. I always knew that I could write music. I always knew that I could sing and that I wanted to do that. I had no idea how to get it out there. So it just so happened that at the start of 2019, I got reached out by a producer and I started working on my first EP. It was really exciting. And we were like, yeah, due to the fact that it's sort of weird to release music in December, we're going to release in March and then go to May. So the release day had been planned for months. You know, the 20th of March was the day of the first singles to be dropping. And in the UK, March 22nd was the day that everything shut down. So it's sort of just hilarious, but it's really worked out for me, and I'm not quite sure how that's worked out. I think it's because people have wanted to look more into music this year because it's an escape form, I suppose. But it's been frustrating for me because I've not been able to go out and perform. But because of that, I think people sort of see me as shiny because they've not been able to see me live. So when I can perform live, I think people will probably come to the show.
It's like you've cultivated this like aura of mystery around you. Who is Charlotte Young? For the past year, you've just been like a face on the screen. And at some point, they're going to be able to see you in person. It's going to blow everyone's minds.
I hope so, because I have sort of just turned up out of nowhere, like uninvited, unexpected. And I'm just here now and I'm not moving. So I'm just going to stick around.
Uninvited, but not leaving. That's a good tour name, I think. I think if you go on tour, that should be the name of it. Uninvited, but not leaving.
Heard it here first.
I know this year has been definitely a difficult time for artists because they can't do shows. So how has it been making a presence for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. And in complete truth, I don't know, but it's somehow worked. Like, I think part of it is I've been releasing things and I suppose people have just enjoyed it. So they've stuck with me and they just want to see if I can keep doing it, I think, because like I came out of absolutely nowhere. I've been very lucky to see quite the amount of success so far. And I think people see something a little bit different that they're not particularly used to. And I think it's because, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way, but I think it's because I blend things so much that I don't think you can necessarily put me in a box. I think I'm like a little bit of everything. And when they think they've figured me out, I drop something else and they're like, oh, weren't expecting that. I think part of it is I've just been quite busy with the content and I really like talking to my fans and I like to drop breadcrumbs and things like that. So I think it's sort of just an appreciation for each other. Like I create things for people to enjoy and people constantly give me support. So it's a back and forth. And I think that's how I've managed to do so well.
I very much agree about your style because listening to your music, you're definitely a blend of things. Like some of your songs are very kind of mellow, almost like folky. Other songs are more like country rock. So you definitely give us a variety of music. Is that intentional, or do you feel like you're still kind of searching around for your kind of sound?
I think part of it is that I would say that my sound is the fact that it's a mixture. And I think that's something that makes me a little bit of a novelty. I mean, there are a lot of artists who do this. I'm obviously not the only one, but I think because I'm not willing to be like, oh, I'm just country pop. Oh, I'm just country rock. Oh, I like traditional. I like everything. And I truly just love music, and everything I listen to, I try and implement that. And that's why, like, I'm a country artist, but one of my songs, Passenger Side, when I was recording it, the bass player had a bit of a midlife crisis because he was like, it sounds like a Motown song. Cause like I wanted the bass line to be like, bum, 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 bum. And he was like Motown. And I was like, yeah, exactly like that. And he's awesome, by the way. He's a fantastic musician, but I think that's something that's a bit different for me, and I never want to stop that. You know, I make music, I don't think about it too much, and I like that sounds really unprofessional, but I don't want to be predictable. I just want to create things that I like. So yeah, a little bit of everything. It's sort of deliberate, but sort of not.
I like that though. I like that you don't stick to one lane, because especially country, as you mentioned, has so many different varieties. You can be country pop, you can be country rock, you can be country folk, you can be just regular country. There's a lot of different directions you can go in. And again, your music is definitely in all directions, which I like. I like it's not like all like kind of sounding the same. So let's talk about the big news that was recently announced, I believe at the time of this recording, about a day or so ago, that your new EP, Coffee and Conversations, now available for pre-save on various platforms, and will be released on May 4th. What can your fans look forward to with this new album?
So I think what they can sort of expect is they can expect the similarity from the first EP. I'm still the same artist. I still sing the same type of thing. I haven't changed. I haven't drastically gone for an opera record or anything like that. But you can expect it to be a little bit more adult, a little bit more conversational. That's why Coffee and Conversations is the title. And I think part of that is down to the fact that, yeah, it's been a year, but I really feel like I've grown a lot in a year. And I feel like my production understanding has grown. I spent a lot of the time standing next to the producer on this EP, and sort of was driving him absolutely mental, going, can you separate this? Because I'm not sure if this sounds right. And he was great with it. He was really supportive. But I think I was just a bit more aware of what I wanted to do and a bit more aware of what I wanted people to hear. And I also, because the first EP was so sonically cohesive, I thought we could take a risk with this one and have it a little bit more higgledy-piggledy, because no one's life is straightforward. Everyone faces different things. And like, it's important to have a sonic sound, but you can still experiment. So yeah, you can expect quite a few different things on there. It's really fun. And there's a few songs that you're going to want to sing along to, like in your car, like Fun Times. But then there's a couple of sad ones on there because it's a country record, so it's going to be depressing at some point. So yeah.
I feel like country music can sometimes check off a lot of boxes, and sometimes this can include the sad song about loss, a song about religion, yeah. A song about having fun with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Does yours check all those boxes? Did you feel like you kind of cover all those different subjects?
I think pretty much. The only thing I've not really delved into yet is like a religious side of it. I definitely have written things like that. I am a believer, you know, and it is something I want to delve into. It's something I've experimented with, but I haven't shared with the world yet. But other than that, it ticks most things. Definitely your typical, I like to call them rom-com songs, like the really cheesy, happy love songs. I like writing them, and it's my goal in life to have a heartbreak song and a cheesy rom-com song on every record, in that order as well, like track 3 and track 4. Because I like to thoroughly depress people on track 3 and then cheer them up on track 4. So yeah, definitely.
I like that. Well, speaking of heartbreak song, you definitely have that one down with your most recent release, On the Loose. This one you worked with Georgia Nevada, a fellow UK country artist. This song is about basically a heartbreaker going around breaking all the hearts.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask where the idea for the song came from, because normally the heartbreaking is on the part of the musician. They're talking about their own heart getting broken.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And that's part of what inspired the track, is that I adore country music, but when you point out a trope in something, you're never going to unsee that trope. And one of those tropes in country music, as wonderful as it is that the guys tend to be not very pleasant and they go around breaking people's hearts. Not all the time, but there's a fair few. And, you know, wonderful artists such as Brad Paisley and stuff will write songs about, oh, I've broken her heart and I'm never going to get over how much I've broken her heart, but I can't love her and things like that. And I'm like, well, why are there not many songs from a woman's perspective where she's like, I've had enough, it's time to break some hearts now. And it sort of just passed my mind, in a sense. And I got the idea of having a heartbreak song that was really fun. Instead of making you depressed, making you want to cry on your bathroom floor, it's the song to get you off your bathroom floor and to enjoy yourself and, you know, have that empowerment. Yeah, to be honest, it's an example of a song that pretty much wrote itself. I feel like it was there somewhere in the universe and it let me put it together. Okay. And that's how it came to be.
I think the part where it talks about the cops chasing you.
Yep.
I heard that. I was like, did I hear that right? I did. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. And I don't know where I heard this from. So if anyone hears this and can figure out where I heard this from, I'd be really relieved, because I've been trying to figure it out for a while. I'm sure somewhere in TV or movie or something that I heard someone say, oh, heartbreak should be a crime. And like they should be arrested for breaking someone's heart. And it sort of stuck with me. And I was like, imagine if you were on the run for being a heartbreaker. And it sort of came to be.
What about working with Georgia Nevada? How did all that come about? And what were they like to work with?
Oh, she is an absolute talent. She's so lovely. She lives quite away from me in Britain. And because we're in full lockdown, she had to record her part separately. So the song was written and was pretty much recorded and it was ready to go. And actually on the EP is the version without Georgia's vocals. So it'd be really interesting to hear what people think on that one, because it's sort of just shelled down without her. And when we were looking at the plans of release and stuff, my manager was like, wouldn't it be cool if it was a duet? And I was like, yes, that's a stellar idea. And I had worked with Georgia Nevada on a few writers' rounds. And she sort of has a difference to me in the sense of she's got this beautiful, like, soft voice. And I thought she was a really natural complement to what we could do. And because we came out at the same time, pretty much, we came out within like a week of each other on the release, that I was like, it'd be really cool to celebrate someone who's also got some nice buzz around them and stuff. And I sent her the song and I was like, hi, do you want to do this? Sort of expected her to say no. I don't know why, but that's just the type of person I am, you know, Negative Nancy and all. And she astounded me by being like, this is an amazing song. I would love to do it. I'm going to get the vocals done in the next few days. And it was just whiz. She was so fast. And she was fantastic. So yeah, I count myself very lucky to have worked with Georgia. Mm-hmm.
And she definitely has like the best country artist name. We were talking about this before the show. The best artist name.
She's like a real life Hannah Montana. And I mean that in the best way. Like, it's one of those names.
Gotcha. I was thinking, like, depending on which era you're referring to, that could be either a compliment or an insult.
Oh, it's definitely a compliment. I mean, like, 90s kid grew up with Disney Channel. So, like, for me, it's a big compliment.
We're about the 1 year anniversary of you getting into music and the release of your first single, Whiplash. How has that year gone, like, overall for you? And did you kind of have any kind of a plan, or did everything that was going on kind of make that just impossible?
Yeah, so it is definitely more of the latter. I mean, the original plan would have been to tour it, because you release a record, you turn up out of nowhere. The natural thing is that people want to come and see you perform, and I love to perform. And my plan was that I could go full-time with music in 2020, because I'd be releasing music so early in the year. And if it had a good response, which it did, then I would have quite a few opportunities to perform. So that was the plan, and to create more content and to write. Now, luckily, I still managed to create more content and to write, because lockdown in the UK had a bit of a holiday for like 2 months. So I got to go back in the studio, and that's how we recorded the second EP. But other than that, shows had some really silly guidelines around them. I mean, they weren't silly. They were necessary to stop the spread of coronavirus, but like, frustrating for an artist that just wants to go out and perform. It's been upsetting in the sense of, I feel like I could have done more. But then when I think about that, I'm like, actually, consider how lucky you are with just how much support you've had. Because I would say that I feel that people have gone above and beyond for me. I genuinely feel very lucky to have had such a great response. I'd never in a million years thought that this many people would enjoy what I do. And it's very validating as an artist. You know, you work on these songs, you craft them, you worry about them, you panic about them. And then for someone to go, actually, this is my new favorite song. Biggest compliment ever. And it's just, yeah, it's been a wonderful experience, a frustrating one, but I'm sure it will definitely be worth it when I can actually go out and meet people in the flesh again.
Have you never performed live in front of an audience?
Oh, no, I definitely have, just not in the way of my own stuff. Like, I do the odd song every now and then, but I do a lot. Well, I did a lot of cover gigs because they'd pay you. You know, they were fun. It means I would get to meet people. It means I would get to sing in front of people. And that's just what I liked doing. And every now and then I'd throw my own stuff in. And at open mics, I'd sing my own stuff. And I just got to start rehearsing with my band about 2 months before the lockdown was announced. So we were getting there, and it looked like we were going to do some good shows and stuff. We were supposed to do an EP launch, which is really funny because the EP launch was supposed to be May last year. And now, by the time I'll get to do one, I'll have two EPs out. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to do a lot of touring to like make up for all this.
I think so. And I'm okay with that, you know? Like, I'll sing anywhere at any time, so that's fine for me.
Let's talk about venues. What are some of the spots in your area that you are dying to play at when the opportunity arrives?
Yeah, so this is always a really funny answer to me because I feel that whilst I do have dream fancy pants venues, there are certain venues that have my heart, and they have my heart completely because I've been singing there so long. So there's a place right by me called The Actress and Bishop that I've been singing in since I was 17. And I know every bar member there. And I love it. Like, I could be selling out Madison Square Garden and I would still want to play The Actress and Bishop just because I feel like they always have my back. It's comforting to play there. But then in terms of slightly bigger venues and venues that would be cool to play around me, I would really like to play, there's this place called the Hare and Hounds, which is a couple of miles out from where I am, but it's not too far. And quite a few of the US acts that come over here with a smaller audience in the UK, they often go there because it's a really cool venue. So yeah, there's quite a few. But then in terms of fancy pants venues, I'd love to do the arena, the Birmingham Arena. That would be great. But God knows when that would happen.
The thing is, you seem to be off to a really, really good start. Like, I've seen your social media pages. You have a lot of followers. It's very active. One of the things that I really dug was, I think about a week or so before you announced the release of Coffee and Conversations, you had like a picture from, I think, the EP cover, but no text saying, okay, big surprise coming on in just a little bit.
Yeah, blurred it out. I love doing that. It's my favorite thing to do is to drop some breadcrumbs and get people guessing. I'm a sucker for it. Like, pretty much every release I've done from Praying for Rain onwards has just been teaser after teaser after teaser because I think it's really interactive and it's really funny to me. But I'm an artist that does have quite a few followers, very lucky, but in the grand scheme of things, not that many. But the fact that there are people who take time out of their day to guess my clues is just really flattering to me, and I just love it. So I feel that I owe them the respect that they give me by giving them more clues. So, yeah.
thing is, though, social media is such an integral part of what you do. You got to have it, and you got to be good at it. And there are some folks who are really good at it, and some folks who are not. So my question to you is, do you have like a plan for how you do this stuff, or is it more just kind of you have an idea and you run with it?
So I'm this might surprise you, and I'm about to deflate your image of me because I am not that great at social media, actually. Thank God for the wonderful woman that is Rachel Selick, who is my manager. She generally puts things into plan for me. Like I will often come up with the teasing ideas just because I'm mean like that. So I will often come up with things that I want to do, but I won't know how to do them. So she will be like, well, we could do it this way. And it's really very much team effort. And she also encourages me to post more regularly, which has really helped. It's been so beneficial. So it's definitely a team effort, but I couldn't do it without Rachel Selick.
Now, how did you and Rachel cross paths?
So Rachel worked with the studio who did both EPs, and we had an agreement with the studio that every artist who joined them would basically do their social plan for them. So they do their release plan and everything. So all you would have to do is create the content and they would help you along your way. And she worked exclusively with them pretty much. So she worked with every artist, and I got to meet her last year around this time, actually. And she was like, right, so you need to get this done. Can you get this done? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, yes, for sure. Really loved working with her because she really believed in me. She did a great job. She helped me get to where I want to be. And around like the end of May, beginning of June, it definitely became more of a friendship. And we got really close and we were speaking all the time. And she is an actual angel. And I got to meet her in the flesh, which was really great. Really like awesome to meet her properly. And we were just having a conversation. She was giving me ideas of things I could do for my social media. And about 2 weeks later, she sent me an email going, I would really like to work with you. And I'm like, you were just talking to me on Facebook Messenger the other day. So it was really cool to see that. And I was so pleased when she said that she wanted to work with me professionally as my manager full time and would be working on everything for me. She'd be helping with touring. She'd be helping with releases, PR, all this awesome stuff that I get to do, including yourself. So yeah, I got to work with her properly and she's amazing and I'm very, very lucky. Mm.
And in addition to that, you also recently signed with Dark Duck Agency, which I gotta say is the best company name I've heard in a while. I love that name.
Literally. It's so awesome, isn't it? It's like cool, a superhero agency.
Exactly. It's so cool. And they're gonna be handling your international touring and your performing. So I have a two-part question for you. How did they come to your attention? And also, what in your mind makes a good agency to work with?
Sure. I love those questions. They're great. So the main thing is I'd heard of Dark Duck Agency a little bit because Rachel had mentioned them. And she had said that they worked quite closely with a lot of Scandinavian acts and stuff. And if you don't know, Scandinavia is really popular for country music. There's quite a few Scandinavian country musicians and they're all very good. So Rachel had worked with some of them already and she mentioned it to me and I thought, yeah, that'd be really cool, but it seems like a bit of a pipe dream that they would want to work with me because they're so established. And before I knew it, they sent a contract over. So that was amazing. And I think that what makes them a great agency is that they have an idea in their head of what they think will work and they don't overcomplicate it. They want to get great artists over to their country and do some tours. And it's in their interest to make this profitable because, you know, you got to make money. But I feel like they really believe in the acts that they have. And I think that's what like seals the deal for them because, you know, everything that I post, they support, they follow, and they don't have to do that. That's not like something they have to do at all. All they have to do is book videos, which they can't do at the moment because of a pandemic. But because they can't do that, they have made the effort to make sure my stuff's out there to the fans who may be over there who I've not got to meet yet, which would be amazing. And I think that that is what makes them a fantastic booking agent. And I can't wait to actually meet them properly, which would be brilliant.
I feel like there is so much of the things that you normally do as an artist you just have not done yet. All these things they're just kind of like waiting to do, like, you know, play your first show, go on tour,
yes,
meet these people that have you only seen through like video screens.
This is exactly it. And like, I mean, people tend to realize quite quickly after hearing me in an interview or seeing me online that I thrive in a social environment, and I genuinely just want to hang out with these people that have got me to where I've got to, you know. I like to think of myself that if I go to a show and I perform a show, then I could go drink with the fans after. Like, that's what I want to do. And I think that's what establishes you as not only someone that they look up to, but someone that they respect, because that person has made the effort to make sure that your experience is the best it could be. Because the bottom line is, I'd be nowhere if people didn't stream my music or share my posts. So I feel like they deserve that gratitude. And there's just so much that I need to do that I will do when the world is back to normal. So yeah.
When the world is back to normal. We're almost there, guys. We're almost there.
We're getting there. I've just had the COVID jab, so we're getting close.
Exactly. Get your vaccine, guys, okay?
Yeah, do it so I can come and see you.
Exactly. But you raise a good point with the whole hanging out with the fans thing. I think that's so important. You can't just play your shows and then peace. You gotta mingle. You gotta talk with them. You can't be afraid of them. I think some people get a little nervous saying like, oh wait, room of like 100 people are all here to see me, but go hang out with them.
You're 100%. I mean, it's one of those things that I really respect about bigger artists is that from a security standpoint, sure, if you've got like 30,000 people at your show, it's going to be a bit difficult to go for a drink with them all. I get that. But you can still find a way to make it special for them. And even if it's someone who can't come to a show because they might not be able to get to where you're going, but they share a post or they follow you or they even buy merch if they want to or anything like that, like, it's an insane commitment that people will support someone they have never met in their life, but something about them resonates with them. And I think that's like a really sweet quality of people. So I would just be honored to hang out with them. And I definitely will be. They'll never be able to get rid of me. So, yeah.
Ooh, that can make a good song title. You'll never be able to get rid of me.
Let's write it. Let's do it. We'll split the royalties 50-50.
Woo. Done. All I have to do is come up with a name. Awesome. I'm good at this.
You got it.
Speaking of names, we talked about this before the show, but I really dug the name of the new EP, Coffee and Conversation. It's such a like a mellow, inviting name. Was this something that you had to work a lot at before you arrived at one that you liked?
So this is, again, quite an unprofessional answer. I'm the best at unprofessional answers. So basically, it was a split decision. I'm pretty sure it might have been my boyfriend, who's also the drummer on my record, who might have just gone, well, what are you going to call it? And I think I just went, Coffee and Conversations, obviously. And I have no idea why, but one of the lyrics in the songs is Coffee and Conversations. And I actually thought, before I announce this to the world, before I say to Rachel that it's going to be called Coffee and Conversations, perhaps I should actually have a reason. And I thought about it a bit more. And I was like, well, in some respects, all of these songs represent a conversation. I want it to feel inviting in the sense of, you know, you're listening to this record. I want it to be an intimate experience. I want people to hear it and feel like they're sitting down with me in a coffee shop while I explain all my problems to them. And I just think there's something really nice about that. And especially in the world that we're in at the moment, that luxury of going to a coffee shop and having a drink with somebody, especially in the UK, you can't do. It's something that has been banned. But not indefinitely, but while the pandemic's on. And I think that was just a nice thing to have. And once I had decided a sensible reason as to why it should be called Coffee and Conversations, it just really sounded nice to me. And I like the detail of having one solo lyric from the entire EP being the title. And also a bonus fact is in the first EP, coffee is a part of that EP. And the reason it's part of that EP is that the shaker sound you hear in the first album is a coffee shaker. So it's a tin of coffee that's been shaken. And that's what you hear. So I think it's sort of poetic that as a caffeine addict, somehow coffee makes its way into all of my EPs.
That is like the best title for an EP I've heard in quite some time, actually. Like that is like, it's like
my
favorite like EP name, because it's such a, it's such like a musical title, if that makes any sense. Like, it's a perfect setting to be listening to music, you know, like you're at the coffee shop, you're hanging with your buddies, the music's playing in the background.
I love that.
It just works. I just think it works. But I want to ask about Down the Road. You've achieved quite a bit in 1 year, you know, growing the fan base, releasing the music. You've had a number one UK iTunes country single and a number one UK country iTunes album with Blown Away. You've been nominated for awards. Where to next? Like, what are some of your career goals, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So I obviously, we've touched on this previously, but I want to tour. That's a big one for me, and to do some festivals. I want to continuously create content and write songs. I have an end goal that I would like to be a bit more on the production side as well. Like, I would like to delve deep into that. I think that would just be something helpful that I think is just worth doing in this day and age, especially if another pandemic hits, because I could just create an album in my house and it would be fine. But also the big thing is that I just want to continue to meet more people and hang out with more people, and hopefully for people to appreciate my music even more. So the more people I meet, hopefully more people will have a listen, and hopefully they will find something in it that they like. That's the big thing. And, you know, in a grand scheme, I just want to be a professional musician. And that could be in any way, whether that means I'm a songwriter or a performer or a singer. That's just what I want to do. So hopefully we'll get there soon.
Hopefully. You know, I like to ask about what set you on the path to doing your own music. You mentioned that you did a lot of time playing the cover gigs. But what happened that you said, I want to do my own stuff instead?
Yeah, so I have been writing original music since I was about 13. I didn't think anything of it. I probably thought it was quite lame because no one else I knew was doing it. So I was like, am I just being a real loser writing my own songs? No one's going to want to hear about my problems. So there's probably no point in me writing them. But I stuck with it because I wasn't very good at saying how I felt. So I thought it'd be good to write everything down. And lo and behold, around the same time, I sort of fell into a massive rabbit hole of adoring Dolly Parton and Taylor Swift. And I thought, well, these are two people that made their careers by writing their songs and sharing their stories with the world. So it's clearly not that weird, because look how popular and lovely they are, that like, it's probably not that peculiar to perform my own songs. So I started doing them, and they were not very good. I'm not going to lie. They were not that great. But I would go to these open mic nights, about 15 or 16, go and do them. And they were really funny because like the open mic nights I would do were like in metal bars. It's a terrible idea. I don't know how that came to be, but here we are. You'd have all these metal bands like screaming like into the microphone intensely. And I'd just be like, la, 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 la. Like really like silly songs. And then I had a bit of a break for it for a while because I was like, well, everyone I know is going to university. I don't really know what to do with my life. And I sort of brushed it to the side a bit. And then I hit 21 and was like, I want to do it. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And then, yeah, some time passed, did some open mic nights, met a producer, recorded my EP. And that's where I got to where I was going. And I started realizing that I kept somehow losing jobs. And I was like, maybe it's because I'm on the wrong path, because I wasn't bad at these jobs. I would just have the most terrible luck. Like, I would have a job for 2 months and the business would close. So I would be like, what am I doing here? But whenever I did music, it never did me dirty. So I think I was just meant to be here the whole time. And now I'm just not fighting it anymore. So I think that's probably what got me to where I am.
The songs that that you wrote when you were 13. Will those ever see the light of day?
They might one day, because the funny thing is that the chorus to Praying for Rain I actually wrote when I was 15. So they might one day. There's certain lyrics in them that are quite good. for, especially for a 13-year-old, like pretty decent. But the full song in themselves probably won't, because they all sounded the same as well, because I only knew like four chords. So it was just over and over and over again. But they might one day in one way or another, because Praying for Rain did, and that was a real labor of love.
I always hear from musicians about the songs they wrote when they were like 10 or 12 or what have you, and how they like, oh, this was garbage, it was terrible. And my thinking is, I want to hear these things. I want to hear your first songs.
Yeah. Well, it's really funny you should say that, because I have a great friend called Joey Clarkson, who does a series called My First Song Monday on YouTube. She's great, and she invites all of her artist friends over, and she tries to get them to perform the earliest song they can remember. And yeah, she's just, so if that's your cup of tea, you need to check that out, because like she did it and it makes you dive deep into your memories. So yeah, it's a good one.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Are you self-taught?
Sort of. It's very complicated. So in the sense of singing, I've never had a singing lesson. I just sung and hoped I was singing the right note and I was in the right key. And in terms of guitar, I took some guitar lessons for a while. But then I had a car accident, so I couldn't go to school. So I sort of just thought, I can play a D chord, I can play a G chord, I'm just going to learn the rest. And it was the only thing that gave me comfort, because I couldn't see friends or anything, because obviously I was at home with a broken leg. So I was like, I'm just going to play my guitar all day, constantly drive my parents insane with it. And that's how it came to be. I sort of got to where I am largely self-taught, but the basics were taught by a guitar teacher.
I love hearing your musical journey. It sounds like it's been a really, really interesting one.
Thank you. I think it's definitely been the classic up and down, should I do this, should I not? And yeah, I enjoy it so much that I do feel that for any time I've had self-doubt, any time that I thought I wasn't made out for this, I think I was probably wrong, because the support I've had, I feel like I wouldn't get that support if I wasn't meant to do this journey. So hopefully we're on the right road.
Do you still question it? Do you still have that kind of self-doubt?
Oh, definitely. I don't think that ever goes away. I think the most confident person in the world, the most successful artist in the world, would probably have moments where they're like, is this really the right thing to do? I think the self-doubt comes in the form of, am I ready to accept the fact that one day there's going to be someone who doesn't like what I do? And that's going to be hard. That's going to be really difficult to receive that type of rejection, but you have to decide whether it's worth it. And I think it probably is, because, you know, it doesn't matter whether there's 300 people telling you you're their new favorite artist. One person could tell you that you're the worst thing that's ever happened to music. That's going to stick with you. That's going to be really hard. But I think you have to trust the process and believe in yourself. And I definitely do have moments of self-doubt, especially in quarantine, where I'm like, here I am thinking I'm supposed to be doing music and a worldwide pandemic hits. Perhaps I'm not supposed to do music, but having said that, everything I've released has been in a lockdown environment and it's clearly done well. So yeah, I do have it from time to time, but I try and like squash that mean little voice that's going on.
Exactly. Well, Charlotte, this has been a lot of fun. It's been great talking about the music and about your journey amidst the pandemic. But for the folks at home, they want to check you out. Where do they go to do this?
Sure. So you can check me out, Charlotte Young Music, everywhere, Spotify, whatever you like. Instagram. And if you can't find me at Charlotte Young Music, you can find me at Charlotte Y Music, which is on Twitter and Facebook. So you can check me out there and hopefully you will hang out with me for the next EP.
Absolutely. Coffee and Conversations being released on May 4th, now available for pre-save and pre-order on your various streaming platforms. Charlotte, thank you once again.
Thank you so much. See you later, everyone.
This is your girl, Lady V, host of the V-Line, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
Picture this. You finished your first book and nailed it. The plot, the characters, all the twists and turns. This one's a winner, and all you need is the right cover. If you've got my art skills, this is the part where panic usually sets in. Enter the cover villain, hero to writers everywhere. Founded by noted author Remy Flagg, Cover Villain focuses on composite image covers for science fiction and fantasy writers. Give them the details, and they'll craft a cover using popular trends that everyone will want to see. But wait, you say, I've got ideas of my own. No problem, as Cover Villain loves a good collaboration. As they say, our goal is to put a little villain in every cover we make. Want to know more? Then head to covervillain.com and follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, folks, that brings this episode to a close. You can follow the show on Facebook under Citywide Blackout and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. Listen to the show on Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and every Saturday at 10 p.m. on Boston Free Radio. To close things out, I've got Charlotte's debut single, Whiplash. As always, keep those ears open.
Met you on a faded night. People blurry while they're getting high. Make your way over whiskey, hey. And I'm far from sober. Dancing, crashing, spinning.
Your name on how-